Okay, so let's get started. Tonight's learning should be a zchus for a continued refuah shleima for Sheindel Devora Bas Chayachana, for Shaul Reuven Ben Gittel Sasha, for Aaron Moshe Ben Leah Bela, Shamir Ben Penina, Besoch Shar Chol Yisrael. And we continue to learn as a zchus for the Chayalim and the Chatufim and the Cholim and those who've been affected by everything going on in Yisrael. And we continue to daven and learn that we should hear Besuros Tovos and Yeshuos very, very soon. Again, especially in the month of Adar, we're hoping to hear of, you know, very good news with the Mazel of Adar. So let's jump right in. This week's is going to be not just Parshas Vayikra, but it's also going to be Shabbos Zachor. It's going to be Shabbos Zachor, and I thought it would be appropriate to spend some time talking a little bit about Amalek and our relationship, so to speak, with Amalek. It comes up several times in the Torah, of course. Amalek comes up, really, if you go back to Sefer Bereishis, in terms of genealogy, Ela Toldos Esav, but we're more familiar with Shmos Perek Yud Zayin, as the Jewish people are leaving Mitzrayim, and we engage with Amalek over there. And we go to battle with Amalek. And then I would say maybe most famously, maybe not, I don't know, but most famously in Devarim. If you're familiar with the Sheish Zechiros that we say, Zachor is asher asal lecha Amalek baderech b'teizcha mimitzrayim, asher karcha baderech, v'yizaniv b'cha kol anecha shalim acharecha, v'ata yefi egea, we were tired, v'lo yara elokim, v'haya baniach Hashem elokecha lecha mikol evecha misaviv v'aretz asher Hashem elokecha, no sein lecha nachla l'rishta, timcha es zecher Amalek mitachas shemayim lo tishkach. And of course, there's a little bit of a paradox within the pasuk that we should wipe out the memory of Amalek, mitachas v'shemayim lo tishkach, and you shall not forget. How is it possible we're supposed to wipe out a Kodesh Baruch Hu's memory? Excuse me, whoa, chas v'shalom, wipe out Amalek's memory. No, I saw some faces surprised. Okay, good. You would have unmuted yourselves and said something. We're supposed to wipe out Amalek's memory, but at the same time, lo tishkach, how does that work? And there's a lot said on that. It's a fascinating topic in and of itself, but a little bit beyond the discussion tonight. Let's take a look, firstly, at Rashi over there, a well-known Rashi, but it's kedai to go through, especially being Shabbos Zachor. Rashi says the following. What does it mean, Asher Karcha Baderech? So Rashi gives three different interpretations, three different pshatim as to what exactly Karcha means. Asher Karcha Baderech, the first one is Lashon Mikra. Lashon Mikra, like Makore, like people say in Hebrew, what's happening, what's going on? And Rashi understands that to mean that Amalek happened upon us. It was a coincidence that we were leaving Egypt, they were coming the other way, and we happened to bump into each other. And that's how they viewed this encounter. Davar Acher, Lashon Keri Vituma. The second pshat, Rashi says, what does it mean? Sure, Karcha Baderech. They were Mitah, they're from Lashon Keri of an impure emission, and they made us impure, they defiled us. We were coming out of the Tumah of Mitzrayim, but through maybe the Makos and Yitzias Mitzrayim, there was a certain zichuch, there was a certain refinement that we experienced through that entire process. It was almost like a purification process that some of the Sifrei Chassidus discuss. And Amalek came, and their goal was to be Metameos. And the third interpretation, Davar Acher, Lashon Kor V'chom, Rashi says. It was a Lashon of Kor, like from something cold, Kar. Tzinencha V'hivshircha. Similar, yeah. They cooled us off from your boiling, from your heat, so to speak. So Rashi explains, Shahayu kol ha'umos yireim lehilachim b'chem. All the umos ha'olam, all the non-Jewish nations, they saw us after we left Mitzrayim. Everybody heard about the Makos. Everybody heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. Everybody heard about the Nisim v'Niflos. And no one was going to mess with the Jewish people. U'bazeh v'hischu v'hera mokom la'achirim. And these people came, meaning Amalek came along, and they found, they created a Pesach, they created an opening, v'hischu v'hera mokom la'achirim. They showed others that it is possible to attack the Jewish people. And then Rashi goes on to give a mashal la'ambati, a mashal of like a boiling bath, rosachas, an ambati rosachas, a boiling hot tub, she'in kol biri yechola le'rid besocha. No one was going to jump into this bath because it was just so boiling hot, no one wanted to get burnt. Ba ben blial echad kafatz yer lasocha. So one crazy guy goes and jumps in. Afal pisha nichba, even though he might get a little bit burnt by the hot water, so his body temperature, whatever it is, somehow hakeri osab b'fnei achirim. So he goes and because he dove in, or he jumped in first. It cooled off this boiling bath, and then other people were able to come in. Says Rashi, that's the mashal of Amalek coming to attack the Jewish people. Amalek was coming to say, we don't care what you've done, we don't care what you've attained, we don't care what you've seen in Mitzrayim, we're going to come and we're going to fight. And we're going to attack the Jewish people. And that move that they made was such a statement to the rest of the world. Because no one was ever going to mess with the Jewish people. But then, they saw Amalek. It's Shaykh. Amalek lost. We beat Amalek. But we saw that, or they saw, I should say, that people were able to push the Jews one way or the other. And that was almost like an opening, a Pesach, for other nations to come and fight the Jewish people. That's what Rashi says. Now, many of the Bali Musar suggest that these three different pshatim that Rashi suggests, again, the first one, that it was a Lashon Mikra, that it was coincidental that we bumped into each other. It was a Lashon of impurity, and they defiled us. And this other idea of it cooled us off. So these three pshatim can be woven together. Rav Moshe Sternbach, we've quoted him in Hilchos Shabbos in the past, over the past couple years. Every once in a while we quote him in a Sefer Tshuvos VaHanhagos. So he says something very interesting. He says, Amalek was the nation that represented no hashkacha in this world. We don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't believe in not just a God, but we definitely don't believe in a God that's intimately connected to and so intensely caring about what we do. This idea of hashkacha pratis, and not just hashkacha, you know, ha'umit we'd call it, you know, looking at us on a national level. Not just Adon Olam, but Vahu Keli, he's my God and he's watching over me. And Hashem cares about every single thing I do. And Hashem's listening very closely when I daven mincha. And Hashem sees when I give tzedakah. Hashem notices when I go help another person. He notices when I call someone Erev Shabbos to wish them a good Shabbos. Amalek wasn't having any of that. Amalek said there's no such thing as hashkacha. Hashem isn't in charge. And their whole entire outlook in life, their hashkafa sachayim, was that everything is coincidental. So the Bali Musar point out, with that kind of hashkafa sachayim, so that leads to a certain sense of tumah, to a certain sense of impurity, to think that a Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't in charge. And when a person thinks that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not in charge, and they begin to distance themselves with those beliefs, so again, that's a certain level of tumah. To what's tumah? Tumah, many point out, my father likes to quote this from the Mishnayos in Taharos, but Tuma really is a certain, we'll call it like being disconnected from Chayim. It's a certain sense of being totally removed from any sort, any sense of Chiyus, any sense of real Chiyus, of vitality in one's life. So what happens? Who's the ultimate source of Chiyus? Obviously, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When we're connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when we're plugged in, so we can be on fire, we can feel full of Chiyus, full of life, because we're connected to the one who, the source of all, the Makor HaChayim. But when a person is distanced from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when a person feels that there's no such thing as a Hashgacha Pratis, so not only does that overall sense of impurity, this thought, this belief begin to seep into our lives, but that ultimately cools us off also. And that's what many of the Sfarim point out, not just the Chassidish Sfarim, but everybody quotes this gematria that Amalek is gematria Safik. That Amalek, their goal is to get us to doubt our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalek's goal is to get the Jewish people to believe that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not watching over us. That's why this is more in the Chassidish Sfarim, but they darshan the word Amalek as an Am, a nation that takes the tallest letter, the letter Lamed, that's reaching up to Shemaim, that's yearning for a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they bring it all the way down to a Kuf, and they stoop it into the ground and say, you have nothing, there's nothing going on. That's Amalek's goal. And that's why, also pointing out, another connection. Again, we had the three different ways of looking at the word Asher Karcha Baderech, to cool us off, to make us impure, or everything's coincidental. So there's another word in Hebrew that has three different interpretations, and they're really all related. The Shoresh, Samoch Tof Resh. So it can either be Haster, to hide, it can be a Stira, a contradiction, or it could be Soter, like in Hilchos Shabbos, to destroy or to undo or to dismantle. And I once heard from Ephraim Waxman that this is ultimately Amalek's goal. because they want to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you think you can find them. Hashem's hiding. Hashem, you think that there's a God? Maybe there's a God. But you think he's looking, you think he's related to you, you think he's watching everything you're doing? No. God, he may have clicked play in the world, but he went to go hide. And then all of a sudden, that my son just gave me such a funny look. That hashkaf is so crazy. We don't believe that. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us and he cares about us. But if a person Chas V'Shalom thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding and he doesn't care about anything we do, so that can contradict a lot of chinuch, right? Everything we've learned, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us, he's listening to our tefillos, that can be a stira to everything we've learned. And when you have that new hashkafa, that new belief that, oh my gosh, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't around, he's not watching, he doesn't care as much, those contradictions can cause a certain stira, an undoing of, a destruction of that entire framework that we've been trying to build. That's what Amalek is trying to do. And it's not Stam that Rashi points out. If you look in Parshas Kisetze, where we're going to read this Shabbos, so Rashi points out the following, because right before Amalek comes up in the Parsha, so the Torah tells us about having proper weights in your store. Lo yiyeh lecha b'kisecha, evin ve'evne gedola uktana. A person shouldn't have a larger stone and a smaller stone. And Rashi says that these are used as mishkalot. Evin ve'evin is a mishkalot, certain types of stones to weigh certain things in business. Gedolu kitana, you're going to put on a heavier one, you're going to put on a lighter one when it's more convenient for you in order to be able to skim some more money off the top or to be able to, you know, maybe get a couple extra bucks from someone. Lo yeh lecha b'veischa, ifa ve'ifa gedolu kitana. Again, different types of ifa, different types of measures in your house. Again, you're trying to pull moves on people. And then it goes on to say, Evan Shlema v'tzedek yelach. Ifa Shlema v'tzedek yelach. You should have proper, you should have full, you should have honest weights in your house. Honest measurements. Laman ya'arichu yemecha al ha'adama asher Hashem elokecha nosein lach. We're supposed to be honest in business. And then, the Torah says like this, Kitov as Hashem elokecha ko ose ele ko ose evel. Anybody who doesn't do the right thing, anybody who cheats in business, that's mamisha to'eva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's abominable in the eyes of Hashem. Next pasuk, Zachor is asher asal l'chal amalik, b'derech b'tzeis Mitzrayim. Zot Rashi, if you're lying with regards to your midos and mishkalos, if you're lying with regards to your weights in business, so what's going to happen? Amalek's going to come and Amalek's going to bite us. What's the relationship between lying in business and Amalek? So many explain this Rashi to mean, that why is a person cheating in business? Why is a person skimming a little bit off the top? Why is a person using shady weights? Clearly they don't have emunah. A person's going to say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to make sure I get every single dollar I possibly can get my hands on. And when a person lives a life like that, when a person is saying, it's not about the Ribono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in charge of my bank account, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in charge of Parnasa, I'm in charge of how much money I make. I'm in control of what's going to be mine at the end of the day. When a person lives a life like that, so much so that they're willing to cheat and cut corners in business, so who's going to come and attack us? Who else than Amalek, the nation that says there is no such thing as a God? It's Mida Keneged Mida. It makes sense. So good. So we have a little bit of background in terms of who Amalek was and what they were all about. Let's go weiter a little bit and maybe take a look at some of the Mefarshim on the Chumash, though, because what exactly, again, we quoted from Rashi why Amalek was so bad. Are there any other understandings in terms of why Amalek was so bad? So let's take a look at the Ramban and maybe the Abarbanel. The Ramban tells us like this. Again, this is the Ramban from Parshas B'Shalach over there. And he says, what's the reason? V'tam ha'onesh she'ne'enash Amalek yosir mikol ha'amim. Why is it that Amalek is mamish, they're chutz lemachne, in terms of all the umos ha'olam in the world, Amalek's mamish, the worst one. Reish is goyim Amalek, as it says in Parshas Balak, we hate Amalek, we want the Torah, we have a chiv to wipe him out. Says the Ramban Bavor, ki kol ha'amim shamu v'yir gazun. Like we say in Oz Yashir, all the nations heard and they trembled. And the Ramban goes on to quote different nations who heard and they were afraid. V'amalek b'mi merchak k'mizgaber al Hashem. L'kach amar bo v'lo yare elokim. They basically said, let's go and fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one else was messing. Similar to Rashi about the boiling hot Ambati. But the way the Ramban seems to formulate it is they're k'mizgaber al Hashem. They were going to fight with God, which is a pretty wild idea. The Abarbanel goes on to say that Amalek went out of their way to start a fight. Meaning we quoted Rashi, Lashon, Mikra, we happened to bump into them. But Zakta Bar Benel and Parshas Kisetze, Aval Amalek lo haya lo siba mizeh b'milchamto. They had no business in this fight. Kihine Yisrael lo hayu ovrim ba'artzo. We weren't crossing over, we weren't, you know, encroaching onto their territory. We were doing our thing. Ubami hilachim bo lishiyotzi lachim bam. Vigam lo hayu lahem artzos shidei lechim Amalek v'kivsham. It seems like from the Bar Benel that Amalek had no real reason to fight with us. We were, certainly weren't looking to pick a fight with Amalek, but they came at us. Abu Haysa levad milchamto bederech betzeisim imitzrayim. Rotzalomar shehu yatza l'satan or l'satin lahem baderech over misavra al riv lolo. They came and they wanted to fight. They wanted to just fight for the sake of fighting. They were looking for a war. They were looking for a fight. Even though they had no real business there. That's what, why get involved? I think there's a lot of mussar to think about in terms of that idea from Amalek, that this idea of, again, not just what we already shared, but this Bar Benel of getting involved in something that's not really something we ought to be getting involved in. So many times in our own personal lives, we get involved in, I don't know, people meddle. We always like to hock around and get involved, hear what's going on, but maybe a mussar, at least from this Bar Benel, is recognize like what's shayach to us and what's something that's not, I don't need to get involved in it. It's not really for me, and therefore, since it doesn't concern me, I shouldn't put myself involved there. Fine. Rav Hudner, in the Pachad Yitzchak, has a long mahalach at the beginning of a sefer on Purim, where he discusses that Amalek is the leitz. We spoke about this a little bit in my Mishle class, actually, today. We saw a pasuk about giving tochacha to a leitz, but Rav Hudner goes on to say, we won't go through the whole piece inside, but Rav Hudner goes on to say something very... very sharp, I think, and very, very important, right? We were coming, the Jewish people were coming off this high, the Makos, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsof, and Mamish, we felt untouchable. And it wasn't just the Jewish people, it was the entire world had this understanding who the Jewish people were. And no one was going to mess with us. There was like a clear recognition of Yidias Hashem, people understood, right? That was the goal of the Makos, like we've said in Shiurim past, that it was not just for the Jewish people, but even for the Ummah Sa'olam to get to a certain recognition of Yediyas Hashem. So what does Amalek do? Amalek comes, and they're all about the Midah of Leitzanus. Leitzanus Lefi Rav Hudner. Leitzanus Lefi Rav Hudner is the capacity to take something chashuv and belittle it, and to denigrate it, and to make light of something that's actually chashuv. That's the Midah of Amalek. That's what Amalek's goal was. Now, it's kind of funny because... again, it's not 100% related. Maybe it's a little bit of a tenuous connection. But I also want to point out something else that we see of Amalek within the Megillah itself. Revolvi points out, I have this sefer here called Dash Shlomo, and they're Maimarim from Revolvi. Revolvi was a great Baal Musar in the previous generation. I've quoted in the past, he was the Rebbe of Rabbi Kurtz in the academy, and it's always cool to pick Rabbi Kurtz's brain, asking questions about Revolvi, and if you've ever heard about Revolvi, if you learned anything from Ale Shor, so when you speak or you hear Rabbi Kurtz, it's almost like, whoa, that's a Talmud of Revolvi in terms of how measured he is and, you know, and how he holds of himself and how he carries himself and how he's an incredibly special person. So for me, it's cool to have a relationship with him because it's like a Pesach into the world of the Mashgiach, as he says, Revolvi. But anyway, so they collected several of his Maimarim on Purim and Pesach. Here's Maimari Gula, Purim and Pesach. And he goes on to say that what was Amalek in general and specifically Haman with regards to the Megillah? So he says that Amalek and Haman specifically live in a world of Dimyon. They live in a world of complete imagination. Example number one he gives, if someone became the most important person, you get this new job. Imagine a person is elected president, or elected vice president, I don't know. So what would you think is the person's first... task. What would a person do when he first gets selected? You don't have to turn off mute and start suggesting things. But I would imagine people have some good thoughts here. I would imagine nobody is thinking that the vice president should go and erect a statue of themselves and have people bow down to it. It's like a crazy thing to do. It's funny because we're so used to hearing the story of the Megillah that it's almost like we take things for granted, you know? And okay, this is part of the story, and we know this medrash, and we know this is a Gemara, or we've heard it in the story, and we think it's in the text, but when we read the text, it's not right. But we have certain understandings of what the Megillah is, but it's a crazy thing to think about, points out Rav Volbi. You get elected president, the first thing you're going to do is hang up statues of yourself all over the place? You haven't done anything yet, you were just elected. Right? It's almost like reminiscent, right? The idea that we don't say Shechianu on Sfiras HaOmer, and we don't say Shechianu under the chuppah when one gets married. And part of the idea is, but we can't start counting Sfiras HaOmer, the goal isn't the first night of Sfira, the goal is to get to Shavuos. We don't make, some point out, Rabbi Ganek in a Sefer Birkas Yitzchak points out, we don't say a Shechianu underneath the chuppah because you haven't really done anything yet. You're just starting off. And it's a very special moment, obviously, of course. Maybe one of the most memorable moments of one's life, but the goal is to build a family, right? So we're not saying a Shechianu yet. So a person gets elected, what's he doing? He's going to build this massive statue? He's gonna build this massive statue and have people doubt. He's mamish. He's crazy. He's disillusioned. Then what happens? But the next part of the story makes it even crazier. One person doesn't bow down. So you'd think you have to run an entire kingdom. You'd think you have to run a country. You have to go on and be the president. And you're going to stop everything that you want to do because there's one Jew, Mordechai, who's not bowing down to you? Haman's, he's crazy. He would say, oh, it's a crazy Jew. I don't know, one of these guys in the Sanhedrin, for Anshe Knesset, forget him. Him and his big long white beard and his long coat or whatever it is, you know, furry hats, forget them. But what does he do? Haman stops everything in the tracks and he's like, no. What does Haman say? Not only is he going to kill Mordechai, this is just how crazy, this is like another level, points out Rav Volbi. This is the third koma. He could have just killed Mordechai. Lefi Haman's craziness, that would have made sense. It's not like the best use of his time, but okay, fine. You want to kill Mordechai for not bowing down? Fine. But what does he say? It wouldn't be enough to just kill Mordechai. He has to kill the entire nation. He doesn't live, says Rav Volbi, he doesn't operate in a world of reality, even the way in which he wanted to kill him. A gallows 50 amos high? It's so outlandish. Is that going to help your malchus, so to speak, to kill this one guy 50, like... Is that going to make people more afraid of you, less afraid? Like, what are you trying to accomplish by that? You're just trying to, you know, flex and say, ooh, look at me, I can kill him? It's mamish crazy. And then, of course, he walks into the bed. Rav Volbi goes through the entire Megillah. Achashverosh is having trouble sleeping. What should I do to someone who I should honor? Haman's, ooh, look at me. Is that like a regular request that a normal person would make of the king? Give me all of your clothing, Mr. Melech. And give me your horse, and have someone who's very chashiv parade me around the city. It's like funny when you pause and you just like think about it. Again, because we're so used to hearing about the story, but it's mamish crazy, points out Rav Volbi. And then, of course, when he's invited into this suda with Achashverosh and Esther, and like all the thoughts that are going through his mind, and he's thinking this is gonna be my big day. And we're going to, you know, I'm going to be the number one. Esther and I are going to start a coup. Like, where are you coming from, my friend? He's mamish. He lives, says Rav Volbi, that he lives in an ola, malei shel demyonos. Shav umaduchim. Kezehu olamo shel Haman. Haman did not live in reality. He created a world in which he felt comfortable living in. And this is really the yisod of Amalek in general. They create a world in which they feel comfortable. If you say that there's no God and therefore you have no responsibilities, and you don't have to do anything, you don't have to shell tzud anything, so then life's so much easier. But it's accepting, it's being mekabel ma'ach shemayim, saying, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to follow His Torah. So when you do that, so all of a sudden, your life completely changes. That's what Mordechai was doing. This is what we were fighting for. This is what Esther was fighting for. That's the entire yisod. That's what's happening here. So now we bring it back for a second over here. Why is Purim even called Purim? It's such a funny thing. And we can spend, obviously, a lot of time on this idea, but we're all familiar with the idea that it's called Purim, Al Shem Pur, as the Gemara says, that Haman cast a lottery. The lottery fell in the month of Adar, and he was ecstatic. And turns out it's good for us because of not just Mises Moshe Rabbeinu, but also it was the month of Leidas Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's a good month for the Jewish people, and it's a good mazel for the Jewish people. Why do we call it Purim, of all things to call it? So we're taking what Amalek wanted to use. We're taking this yesod, so to speak, of randomness and coincidence, and there's no God. And we're saying, no, the thing that's, quote, most random in the entire world, a lottery, there's no such thing as coincidence. There's no such thing as coincidence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the entire world. Every single thing that happens, every single step along the way in the Purim story, it was all Yad Hashem. And this was the great simcha for us on Purim, as we spoke about last week when we were in Galus and we thought we were completely, not just, we didn't feel just dejected, but we felt rejected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Ramban pointed out. We were thrown into Galus and we said, forget it, I'm done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgot about us. The simcha of the Nes of Purim, the Ava that we felt from Purim, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I may have been behind the scenes, but I was here the entire time and I was moving the chess pieces the entire time. And don't think for a second that I forgot about you, because I'm not just Adon Olam. I'm Hu Keli, I'm your God too. And like we quoted from Rav Huttner last week in Maimer Ches, that's why it's called Megillas Esther. Our avoda on Purim is to be Megala the Hester, to reveal what's hidden in our lives and to look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything we're doing, to see behind the curtain, to see behind everything that's going on and recognize, to be Metzitz Min HaCharakim, right? To peer behind the lattice work, as it says in Shir HaShirim. To see Yad Hashem in every single thing we do, that's our avoda on Purim. And maybe we'll just close with one last idea from Rav Shechter, although it's not 100%, you know, within this Mahalach, a little bit related to something else with regards to Amalek, but I think it's beautiful and I like quoting Rav Shechter Shlita. So he points out also, or if we can say like this, hold on 1 second, we're almost done, buddy. The whole entire goal of Amalek was to sever the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was their goal. The Maharal and the Vilna Gaon and others point out, and the Gemara in Maseches Megillah says that this highlights four different mitzvos that we re-fortified through Purim. Ora zu Torah, Simcha zu Yom Tov, Sason zu Mila, and Yakar is Tfilin. And he goes through the Vilna Gaon and other Mefarshim, explain how each one of those mitzvos is a special os between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Amalek's goal was to undo that relationship and to sever that bond that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Halo Davar, how amazing is it that the two mitzvos that we have, or the two psukim that we have, with regards to Amalek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kimacho emche es zecher Amalek mitachas hashmayim. I will wipe out, I will erase the name of Amalek mitachas hashmayim. But then, that's in Shemos and Bishalach, but in Parshas Kisetze, which we're going to read, what does it say? You shall wipe out the memory of Amalek. Meaning, on one hand, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiping out the memory of Amalek, but on the other hand, it's us wiping out the memory of Amalek. Says Rav Shechter that Mechias Amalek, this mitzvah that we have vis-a-vis Amalek, is one of the most important mitzvahs that manifests our, not just relationship, but partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to wipe them out. But it's not just me. It's you. You're going to wipe them out also. And all of these mitzvahs that were reinstituted, Tfilin and Milah and Yom Tov and Torah, all represent, without getting into it right now, but all represent this bond that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the partnership we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as we pause and reflect over the course of Shabbos, maybe throughout the week leading up to Shabbos, to think about our relationship we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, how we can continue to look to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything going on in our lives, the apparent ways and the less so apparent ways. And the more we do that, the more we'll fortify our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that will lead, I think, to even more simcha on Purim.